I'll try to cut this short because of our observing the Lord's Supper tonight. And for a good long time now, I've been sharing with you, and I didn't realize that it would go so long, but there's just so much in the Bible related to this. I had been preaching through the book of Galatians and had come to the point in chapter number 6 where it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And as I've reminded you several times, we oftentimes think about that in the negative way, bad things, and we certainly know that that is the case and experience of a lot of people. But what I've done is share with you on what I think is the positive side, and that is sowing to the Spirit. And he says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And he goes on to say, "And not let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." We shall reap. And I've just been really fascinated with that point. And as you know, for a lot of Sunday nights now, I've shared with you about sowing expectantly, sowing to the Spirit in the Word. Sowing to the Spirit in the Word. And I don't mean to think I'm going to exhaust that subject, because I just really don't think it could be exhausted. I believe that I could actually preach from that subject for no telling how long, but I won't do that. And as I shared with you this morning, I had reserved one passage of Scripture for the last thought on this matter of sowing to the Spirit in the Word. And of course, I'd remind you that sowing to the Spirit in the Word is makes all kinds of sense, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of our Bible. And so we know that the Word of God is inspired, and it's absolutely trustworthy, and the Holy Spirit has inspired not only the book, but inspired every word of our Bibles. And so this verse that I've saved for last, and I'll be sharing with you a few thoughts here tonight, then I'm going to share with you some more next Sunday night from this verse. But it's found in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to just start reading in verse number 1, and I'll read all the way down through verse number 6, and then I'll point out the verse that I'm sharing with you. And Paul says this, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever," and this is the verse, "for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." Then in verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, that fourth verse is the one I want to call your attention to. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." And then, of course, in the verse, it tells us there's going to that which we can reap from that. And he says this, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now, there's three things, of course, that are mentioned here in this. The purpose of the Word of God, or the purpose of the Scriptures. There are three things, patience that are listed, consolation, comfort, which consolation is the same thing, and hope is mentioned in that. Now tonight, I'm just going to address the subject of hope, the last thing that's there, because as we go through this, and I share with you, I believe that you'll agree that hope is the primary thing, and these other blessings that come from that are the result of that hope. And so hope is a very unique thing that God blesses us with, and it is a blessing. The blessed hope. The Bible talks about the blessed hope. Now, there are several places in the Bible that talk about the benefits of the Word of God or the purpose of the Scripture. One, for example, I will read in John chapter 20 and in verse 31. And here's what it says. I'll read verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So that's an example of the purpose of the Word of God. Another one is found in 1 Corinthians and chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I will read verse number 11. And it says this, now all these things happened unto them, talking about those that in the wilderness, all of these things happened unto them for examples or in samples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Then we have, I'll mention this one in the book of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I love it. I love to read it. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, beginning of verse 14, but continue thou, Paul talking to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I remember the last time that I shared that passage of Scripture, and Brother Randy reminded me of something. As of course, I had it written down in another Bible, but it says profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. And doctrine, by doctrine we know what's right. By reproof we know what's not right. By correction we know how to get right. And by instruction we know how to stay right. So I thought that was pretty good. So that's some examples of how that the Bible tells us that the purpose of the Word of God. And then there's another one in the book of 1 John, and this is in chapter 5, and it's in verse 13, where John writes these words, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so we have that wonderful promise that is given in that we may know we have eternal life. And this is something that I believe by my own experience, and I have preached it for years and years, that we have a know-so relationship with Christ. And there are those that would say that you can't know whether you're saved or not. Well, I tell you what, the Bible tells us something totally different from that. So in this verse that we have, verse 15, or verse 4 of chapter 15 of the book of Romans, we have hope and patience and comfort that are promised in that. And you can see how this applies to the thought of sowing to the Spirit in the Word and reaping the promises that are made. Brother Aaron led us tonight when that song, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the Promises. I like that song. Couldn't help but think about that related to the promises that we have in the Word of God. So hope and patience and comfort. And without hope, there's really nothing else. There's really nothing. There's nothing. And without patience, our journey is miserable. And without comfort, we're filled with grief along the way. Now, one of the things that I want to point out about this is that this is making reference to what the Old Testament has to say. Now, notice with me again in the third and fourth verse. It says, and he's telling us we need to please our neighbor for their good and edification, for even Christ, in verse 3, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproached thee fell on me. And then we come to our text verse, which says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now, this makes reference to the Old Testament, of course, because in Psalms 69, in the 69th Psalm, this very statement is made back there, and that's what the Bible is making reference to. In Psalm 69 and verse number 9, it says this, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. And so what Paul is doing, when he makes reference, he's referring to that, and he's applying it to Christ. So one might read that in the Old Testament, think that's David, and that's only David. But David was a type of Christ. And so we learn that when we come to this, that it's applied to Jesus Christ. And so what it's saying there is the reproaches that reproached thee, God the Father, have fallen on me. And Jesus took them upon himself. And he's making the point here that Christ pleased not himself. Now, we would say, we that know the Lord would say, well, I'm so thankful that the Lord took upon himself the reproaches that would have been mine to bear. I'm thankful that he took upon himself the penalty of my sin, that I know tonight that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because my sins have been dealt with on the cross of Calvary. And so that's the meaning of that. So what we have in that is we have a reference to the Old Testament scriptures. Now, there's oftentimes attitudes about the Old Testament. I've actually heard or read, I can't remember which one it was, but preachers of the gospel that have said, I don't preach from the Old Testament because the Old Testament is the Old Covenant and I only preach from the New Testament. And then sometimes the dispensationalists want to tell us that certain parts of the Bible in the Old Testament, for example, don't apply to us. And even some of them say parts of the New Testament don't apply to us. The Gospels, for example, there are those who believe that even the Gospels were under the law, under the law dispensation, that don't apply. Well, I firmly disagree with that, and I believe the Bible encourages us to appreciate the Old Testament, and you all know that I preach from the Old Testament often, and I love the Old Testament, and so we're encouraged to do that. So what I want to do tonight is to share with you, and some of this will be a repeat of something I've done in recent past, and I don't, yes I do, mean to repeat it, because repeating it don't hurt a thing in the world. We learn from it. And of course, you would understand that there's always going to be maybe people that are present in our worship service that have never known this or thought about it, and even with social media, someone may be listening to the program tonight who haven't thought about that. But this matter of hope, the matter of hope, that's one of those words that are in the Bible that we don't use like the Bible uses it. That's one of those words. And oftentimes I find myself saying, I hope, and I think about the way the Bible uses the word hope. And oftentimes I'll correct myself, and I won't say it the way that I'm accustomed to saying things, like we all do. We use that word hope. And I've given the illustration like this. When you leave the service tonight, you may think in your mind, I hope I make it home safe, which means that you don't know that for a fact. Maybe you will and maybe you won't, but you hope that. The Bible doesn't use that word hope that way. And the way it's using it here in the passage of Scripture tonight is one of those blessings that we receive from sowing to the Word, sowing to the Word. And it's specified clearly that this is one of the things that we can benefit from. Now, in this book of Romans, in the 8th chapter, if you want to look there, I'll share with you a couple of verses in this 8th chapter that points this out. Here's the way hope is used. In verse 24 of that 8th chapter, for we are saved by hope. Now we may think that's unusual. And the reason we may think that is because I'm sure you all are like myself. You believe that we're saved by grace through faith. That is the teaching of the Bible. We are saved by grace through faith. And you might say, well, what does this mean here when it says, for we are saved by hope? Well, there's not a lot of difference in hope and faith, whereby we trust the Lord. But there is. There is a difference. Actually, in the original, it means that we, in this hope, we are saved. In this hope, we are saved. And so the Bible would teach us that saved people are supposed to have hope as it is defined in the Scripture. And of course, as we get a little farther along in this study from this verse, I'll be sharing with you some awesome benefits that we reap from that very thing. And so he says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope. Now notice this real careful. But hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. I want you to note that. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? He's got it there. In other words, what he sees, what would he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we have from those two verses what the meaning of hope is and the way the Scripture uses that. Now I want to give you some things that would point out the difference between faith and hope. Faith is a trust and a reliance. Hope is an expectation. Faith is in the present and the known and the believed. And hope is something that's future. In faith, Christ is the object. In hope, heaven is the object. And so this is what the Bible is telling us about the difference between faith and hope. So I want you to know tonight that that hope is, now listen to this, because this is exactly what it is. It is an absolute certainty. Hope is not a maybe so and maybe not. And that's why the way we use the word hope is, it's dangerous to try to understand the way that's used in the Bible when we associate that with the way that we might use it. So hope is absolute certainty. Hope is a confident assurance with anticipation about what waits us in the future. That's what it is. Now, I'm no different from all of you who know the Lord as your personal Savior. Brother Randy mentioned something a while ago in his prayer, And I certainly agree with why, because he was praying for our nation and praying for the way things are going, not only in our nation, but in the world. And he mentioned the possibility that the Lord may be coming back soon. Not only do we think about that, but oftentimes we think about what would it be like if I were to die, if I were to pass from this world. And I want you to know tonight, that's something that can happen to anybody. It's not a respecter of age necessarily. Oftentimes we get to local paper, and one of the first things that I look at when the paper comes, I look at the obituaries, because I want to see if there's anyone there that I know. And of course, I want to make sure my name's not in there too. No, I'm just kidding about that. But the fact of passing from this life is a possibility and a reality for us all, for all of us. And so this is something that is really important. Now, it wasn't too long ago that in a conversation with someone that I called their attention to in the book of Philippians, and chapter number 1 is a passage of scripture, and here's what it says. And Paul is writing, and he's writing beginning in verse number 21, and here's what he says: "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now you say, preacher, are you telling us that we ought to think realistically, that we ought to be aware of the fact that we could, if it is in the will of God, if it's in His working, because the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and that then after that the judgment. So death is an appointment. And in the book of Job, in chapter 14, it tells us that the number of our months are with thee, and thou hast appointed our bounds, and we cannot pass. And in that conversation that I was sharing with someone, they were really distraught about the loss of a loved one who knew the Lord. They were really, really distraught about that. And I remember quoting this passage of scripture where Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, you can't help when you think about that, what's it going to be like if I die before Christ comes back to this world. He goes on to say, "But if I live in this flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not," or "I don't know." And here's what he says about that: "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Now, the reason I shared with you that passage is because this is the way Paul was thinking about that. This is the way he was thinking about that. And so we can't help, if we think about it, if we dwell on it, that it would be better. You know, we know the Lord, you see. That's where the hope comes in our life, is that we know the Lord. And there's something else that's interesting in here. He says, "which is far better." Then he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful," is more needful. And I've shared this with you before. You know, I'm ready to go, but don't necessarily want to get on that busload tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to hang around. I'd like to think that it would be needful that I do. Sue just needs me so bad. Bless her heart. And really, Christian, have you ever thought about this? Why is it that you're still here? How come you've not died? You say, "But I'm way too young." or I'm way too healthy, or whatever. You know, that really don't have anything to do with it. As I shared with you about looking in those obituaries, I'm going to tell you all something. I see a bunch of them a lot younger than me. And you would too if you saw them. And you say, well, how come I'm still here? How come I haven't been in that number? You haven't been in that number according to this passage of Scripture because it's needful. For whatever the reason, it's needful. And so it ought to make the Christian think this way. I need to really make sure that I carry out that need for which I'm here in this world. That's the way all Christians should think. But then at the same time, thinking about what it's going to be like one of these days when I go to be with the Lord. You see, and that's the hope. That is the hope. And it is an awesome blessing to have that hope. I've told this before and I'll tell it again right quick. Not too awful long ago, my brothers and I were talking and I made the statement, you know, if I die before the Lord comes back, I'd like to be buried up here because this has been our home place and my daddy, my grandpa, my great-grandpa and all that, you know. And then my brother Randall, he owns the place, and he says, well, you know, I'd like to too. And so one day we took the tractor and the post hole diggers and we went out there in this spot and we sunk them down just to make sure that, you know, you could dig 6 foot down or whatever, or how many feet, I don't know what it is, but just, and I told you this, it was funny. My brother Randall said if I passed away first, he was just going to take the post hole diggers and dig a hole and set me down in the hole upright, which would be all right if it was allowed or whatever. But anyway, I went by there the other day. I was taking a walk, and we fenced it in and everything. And I thought, you know, if the Lord delays his coming long enough, this old shell, this old body of mine is going to be under the ground. You know, that's true with us all. So what is this hope? This blessed hope? And I've got a whole lot more to say about it. But this hope is the confident assurance that one of these days we're going to be with Jesus. That's what it is. And as I share with you more related to this subject, it has an impact on our life, more so than probably you've ever stopped to think. So I just think it's awesome. And you say, well, how does it fall into our theme and our study? It falls into our study in this way. Here's what it says. I'll read it again in the fourth verse. And it says this: for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have hope. It's a good investment, isn't it? A good investment in the Word of God. Father, we thank you for these thoughts you've given us tonight related to that. And we believe that you're going to continue to bless us as we think about the things that are recorded in this verse of Scripture. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. You'd help us, oh Lord, to know your will for our lives. And it may be that there's someone who needs to make a commitment tonight. And it would be our prayers that this would be the time as we sing this closing number. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.